Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Mason City Globe Gazette for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I'm your reader, Catherine Moyers. The headline from today's paper is Harmonic Convergence by Melody Parker, Dateline Mason City. For the third consecutive year, the River City Chorus is joining voices with the Proud Image Chorus of Waterloo to present a spring extravaganza Saturday. Listen to the Music begins at 3 p.m. at NIACC Auditorium on the North Iowa Area Community College campus, 500 College Drive. The performance will feature the OC Times from Orange County, California. Tickets are $15 in advance, available at rivercitychorus.org or $25 at the door. It's a great collaboration. It's very helpful to have more men singing when we get into a show. It's much easier to fill up the space with sound, and it just sounds glorious, said Rod Bean, Vice President of Music for River City Chorus. About 60 men will fill the risers to perform a variety of pop and classic hits from the 60s, 70s, and 80s in barbershop style, four-part harmonies. We're doing John Denver's Take Me Home Country Roads, Roger Miller's King of the Road, and the Doobie Brothers' Listen to the Music, Billy Joel's For the Longest Time, and a wide variety of songs, said Bean. The men also will sing inspirational and patriotic songs, as well as several classic barbershop songs. Smile, popularized in Charlie Chaplin movies, and a signature song for the River City Chorus will be performed. David Boyd from Proud Image Chorus directs the all-male chorus. Between the two choruses, we produce a musical experience that is wonderful, and we just make a great sound. I think of ourselves as a cappella choruses. We've moved away from the more traditional title of barbershop, doing more modern songs that people recognize, but harmonizing is what we do. And again, the sound we're able to create with that many guys singing four-part harmony is just wonderful, Boyd said. A rendition of Unchained Melody is guaranteed to move audiences, Boyd said, and I'll Walk with God is a very powerful rendition. We'll be singing God Bless the USA, and I hope when we get to the part about we'll gladly stand up to you and defend her still today, that people will literally get out of their chairs and stand up. We've had that happen before, and it's a very moving moment, Boyd said. In addition, Proud Image member Dan Bogart will solo on a haunting version of Ghost Riders in the Sky. The Proud Image and River City Choruses will perform an encore concert at 7 p.m. April 13th at Waterloo's West High School. The 2019 Illinois Quartet Champions, Center Ring, will be featured. Tickets are $15 in advance at proudimagechorus.org, $20 at the door, and $5 for students. Contact any chorus member or call 641-529-2040 or 515-979-9054. The two choruses first came together for a series of concerts in the last 3 years that have played to sold-out crowds in Waterloo and Mason City. Working together has revitalized membership in both chapters, Boyd said. Barbershop music brings men together in harmony and fellowship to sing a variety of music, including barbershop standards, to classics, pop, rock, and show tunes. We have 35 to 40 members, depending on the time of year. Some are seasonal guys and some that prefer to sing on certain shows, like the holiday show. But joining with Proud Image has given us great representation, Bean said. The River City Chorus attracts singers from throughout North Iowa, including Britt, Osage, Lake Mills, and surrounding communities. We have some fellows travel to Waterloo every week to sing, and some Proud Image guys to come sing with us every week, he explained. We all made some really good friends. The big thing is the camaraderie between the guys, which is fantastic. There's a wide range of ages, from 16 to 18 to 80. We have farmers, businessmen, construction workers, retirees, anyone with a love for music and singing. We want those guys up on the risers. The organization is both choruses, is strong, and we try to keep membership dues low, said Bean, who lives in Belmont and joined 40 years ago. In addition to spring, fall, and holiday concerts, the combined choruses have performed the national anthem at numerous major events, including University of Northern Iowa basketball games, a tractor pull in Rockville with an audience of 4,000 to 5,000 people in the stands, and recently for the Iowa Wolves in Des Moines. River City Chorus rehearses every Monday night from 7:30 to 10 p.m. at the Music Man Square. Proud Image meets at 7 p.m. each Tuesday at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Evansdale. Boyd is thrilled that most of the recent new members are in their 20s. Joining these two choruses together has really revitalized interest in the organization, he said. We've seen a real uptick in the number of young guys joining the craft. Hopefully, we'll leave a legacy for these guys who will carry on the hobby into the future, he added. The next story is titled Business Reopens Under New Owners by Robin McClellan, Pottery on the Plaza. At 7:09 p.m. March 12th, Jesse Mary and Callie Campbell were surfing the internet when they clicked a link that would dramatically alter their spring plans. They saw a sale listing for the recently closed Pottery on the Plaza. With only 26 minutes until the auction ended, the pair had to make a decision quickly. They did. Monday's grand opening of Pottery on the Plaza under their ownership was the result. Each already is a small business owner, and Mary has even been working creatively in clay with her business Clay Co. by Jesse. Earring Company's unique designs are available for purchase at Pottery on the Plaza. You'll also find printed school apparel from the garage shop started by Campbell. Her sister-in-law will offer jewelry from Dainty Chains Company on special occasions, and the pair are excited about upcoming collaborations of all types. We're bringing in other mamas who have talents to showcase, Campbell said. Cassie's Kitchen will be offering sourdough baked goods for purchase and to add to parties and events. The family atmosphere is pervasive, and it's not about just promoting women entrepreneurs. Both Mary and Campbell have little helpers whose enthusiasm is unmatched. Mary's boys, Owen, Kaysen, and Colton, use their boundless energy to help carry boxes and arrange items on the shelves. Campbell's twins, Leo and Harper, have pitched in on tasks big and small. Only little Jalen, who isn't quite old enough to help, hasn't played a role. The new owners haven't had much time to wrap their heads around all the aspects of the business, and that's okay with them. We have plans to add throwing wheels for pottery next, and we'd love to get going on some glass mosaics right away, said Mary. There's a million ideas, and we're excited about all of them. One of the things the pair loves about having a pottery business is seeing the creativity of their customers. Ruby Wood is just 6 years old, but she created a ceramic turtle she could admire for years to come. I like to draw, said Wood. I like dogs and animals, and I draw portraits, too. Her parents just bought a home in Clear Lake, and Wood will have a turtle friend while she gets herself settled in her new room. Pottery on the Plaza is located at 14 South Federal Avenue in Mason City, next door to Laredo's. Hours are 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday. There will be Tuesday evening events scheduled as well. Visit Pottery on the Plaza on Facebook or call 641-530-2088 for more information. Turning to page 2, we have this story. Bancroft librarian charged with theft loses jobless benefits by Clark Kaufman. A city librarian who is criminally charged with stealing baseball concession revenue from a booster club is not entitled to employment benefits, an Iowa judge has ruled. According to state records, Aaron Fraker, 41, worked for the city of Bancroft from June 2022 through December of 2023 when she was fired from her position as the city's full-time library director. On December 27, 2023, Fraker was criminally charged with second-degree theft in Kossuth County. Police records allege Fraker was responsible for the revenue collected from the concessions sold at the Bancroft Baseball Diamond during the summer and had never deposited the money with the North Union Booster Club. According to police, when Fraker was confronted, she initially claimed she had all of the money, but later revised her version of events and said the money had been stolen. At some point, the police report States, Fraker admitted that she had stolen the estimated $5,820 in concession revenue. The day after county prosecutors filed the theft charge, Fraker wrote to the library board about her arrest. According to state workforce records, she sent the board a text message that said, "I am offering up my resignation if you need to accept it. The last thing I want is for the library to take a hit, as it's in such good standing. I'm open to training and helping as much as allowed, even if it is via Zoom, FaceTime, or phone call." The president of the library board reportedly replied to Fraker's text with a message that stated, "Thank you for reaching out. We are meeting as a board and will be in touch with you then." According to workforce records, Fraker wrote to the board again on January 4, 2024, rescinding her offer to resign and stating, "I am choosing to withdraw the offer to resign, as this incident has no bearing on my job performance. I cannot allow this to control my life or identity. I'm willing to stand up and fight to repair what I have done and regain trust and integrity for myself and my family." The board then held a special meeting, and on January 8, 2024, the board president sent Fraker a text message informing her the board had accepted her resignation. Fraker then applied for unemployment benefits, which the city contested. That led to a hearing before Administrative Law Judge Carly Smith, who recently ruled in the city's favor and denied Fraker's application for unemployment benefits. Smith noted the courts have held that when an employee voluntarily resigns and the employer refuses to accept a subsequent withdrawal of the resignation, the employee is considered to have voluntarily quit without good cause. A jury trial in Fraker's criminal case is scheduled for April 9th. This story is titled, "Iowa Works Hosts Weekly Hiring Events to Connect Job-Ready Candidates and Employers," by Robin McClelland. The Iowa Works Mason City office at 600 South Pierce Avenue hosts weekly hiring events Tuesdays in the Job Center to connect job-ready candidates with area employers who are hiring. Employers from the area participate, and all interested applicants are encouraged to attend. There's never been a greater time to re-enter the workforce, and these weekly hiring events will help showcase the wide variety of positions available in our area, said Sarah Cook, business engagement consultant for Iowa Workforce Development within the Iowa Works Mason City Center. "Our weekly hiring events are often the first step to re-employment or even new careers in high-demand fields. Iowa Works stands ready to help any job seeker find the connection they need to get started." Tuesday's event runs from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Lutheran Retirement Home in Northwood. They are now hiring a director of nursing, charge nurse LPN or RN, full-time, 2 to 10 p.m., certified nursing assistants, full-time, 2 to 10 p.m., and part-time, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. For more information, contact Iowa Works at 641-422-1524. Now turning to the North Iowa page, we have this story titled, "An Easter Extravaganza. Four city kids and parents mark weekend at Heritage Park Hunt." A sunny 40-degree morning for an Easter egg hunt suited Tracy Gomez, new executive director at Heritage Park and Winnebago Historical Society, just fine Saturday. "An Easter egg hunt is a lot of fun. Pretty much everyone likes Easter eggs and bunnies. Fortunately, we didn't have snow," said Gomez, a Mason City resident and Oceanside, California native. It was the first public event she's overseen in her new role in Forest City. "We had a volunteer appreciation dinner on March 3rd, shortly after I started, but this is my first public event," Gomez said. "It's going great. I'm having a lot of fun, and I've jumped in with both feet running." As part of the recent restructuring of the two Forest City-based historical organizations, the new executive director position was created to promote, organize, and hold events throughout the year. In her 30-hour-per-week position, Gomez also oversees volunteers who have made many past events successful. She has office space both at the mansion, in the research library, and at Heritage Park. Gomez is already working, along with the Winnebago County historian Riley Lewis, to get new military museum on the park grounds ready for its anticipated June opening. "It's going so well," Gomez said. "I presume we'll be opening it even sooner. There is no grand opening date yet." At the egg hunt, Gomez was stationed at bleachers across from the Steel Wheel Cafe, offering instructions to parents and children before separate egg hunts started in three age divisions. The first division for ages 0 to 5 was held on green space near eagle statues, the next for ages 6 to 9 by the park's old-time schoolhouse and 1900s log cabin, and the third for everyone up to age 12 was on the lawn of the 1940s farmhouse that was featured in Silent Night in Algona, a movie recently released on DVD and streaming services. Randy Broster, Farmers Co-op Association General Manager, was on hand to greet parents and children. The Forest City Co-op has been a primary sponsor for the Easter egg hunt for more than 5 years. "We've been working with Riley Lewis on a number of things," Broster said. "We provide money for candy and prizes. They pick what they want. We like to do a lot for the kids. We hope it can help them turn out to be better adults." "I have been here every year since we've sponsored it," said Broster of the egg hunt. "I wouldn't want to miss it." Another project that Broster and Farmers Co-op have undertaken in recent years is a crop-sharing partnership with Forest City FFA students, Heritage Park, and the City of Forest City. Many of the young egg hunters and their parents were regulars at the event, which has historically drawn visitors from well outside Forest City. Especially coveted were eggs with prize tickets inside. "My 4-year-old son, AJ, is very competitive," said Samantha Gappa of Forest City. "He likes to get as many eggs as possible because of the prizes he's won other years." Samantha and Drew Gappa's other son, 2-year-old Chase, was still getting the hang of how to snatch the eggs, according to his mother. "It's Chase's first true year here," Gappa said. "He just picked out his favorite colors, mostly blue and yellow." Archie Jackson, 1, received encouragement from his father, Adam Jackson, just before the egg hunt. "We've come every year since our 8-year-old daughter, Hazel, was his age," Adam said. Mother Trishelle Jackson said Hazel was a Heritage Park egg hunt prize winner at a very young age. "I like if you find an egg with a ticket because you can get a prize," said Hazel, claiming she was too young to remember being a prize winner. Ari Bartleson showed his father, Adam Bartleson, his take immediately after hunting for Easter eggs. "We've come to every one of these we can with him," Adam said. "Even on the coldest years, we've come here." "I've got one golden one," Ari said. "I like that egg because I saw a Twix in it." Now we'll turn to the obituary. Gladys Lenore Fertzel, November 23, 1923 to March 29, 2024. Dateline, Mason City. Gladys Lenore Fertzel, 100, passed away surrounded by her family on Friday, March 29, 2024, at the North Springs Care Center. A funeral mass will take place at 11 a.m. on Friday, April 5th, 2024, at Holy Name Catholic Church, 507 First Avenue Northwest, Rockford, Iowa, 50468, with the Reverend Franz Augustin as celebrant. Visitation will begin from 9:30 a.m. to the time of the mass on Friday. Burial will follow at Riverside Cemetery, Rockford, Iowa. Memorials may be directed to Holy Name Catholic Church. Donna May Cook, Clear Lake. Donna May Cook, 78, died on Friday, March 29, 2024, at Mercy One North, Iowa Medical Center, Mason City. A memorial service will be held at 10:30 a.m. Monday, April 8, 2024, at Zion Lutheran Church, 112 North 4th Street, with the Reverend Derek Crawford officiating. Interment will take place at Memorial Park Cemetery, Mason City, Iowa. A viewing will be held Sunday, April 7, 2024, from 2 to 5 p.m. at Ward Van Slyke Colonial Chapel, 310 First Avenue North, Clear Lake, Iowa, 50428. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to the family in Donna's memory. Ward Van Slyke Colonial Chapel, 310 First Avenue North, Clear Lake, Iowa, 50428. And call 641-357-2193. Joan Dankbar, Clear Lake. Joan Dankbar, 87, of Clear Lake, died on Monday, March 29, 2024, at the Oakwood Care Center in Clear Lake, Iowa. A funeral mass will be held on Thursday, April 4, 2024, at 10:30 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church, 1001 9th Avenue South, Clear Lake, Iowa 50428, with the Reverend Josh Link officiating. Visitation will take place 1 hour prior to the service. Burial will take place following the service at the Clear Lake Cemetery. Memorials may be directed to St. Patrick Catholic Church and St. Croix Hospice. Ward Van Slyke, Colonial Chapel, 310 South 1st Avenue North, Clear Lake, Iowa, 641-357-2193. David Howard Dave Warner, February 20th, 1942 to March 29th, 2024, Mason City. David Howard Dave Warner, age 82, passed away on Friday, March 29th at Good Shepherd Health Center in Mason City, Iowa. He had lived in Good Shepherd's memory care unit for the past 5 months. Dave was born in Mason City on February 20, 1942, to Dorothy Mae Boyer Warner and Howard James Warner. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Thursday, April 4, 2024, at the Isles Westover Chapel in Des Moines, with visitation beginning at 1 p.m. Burial will be at Glendale Cemetery, with refreshments and fellowship back at the Isles Westover Chapel. A memorial service will also be held in Mason City on a date and time to be determined at the Wilson Chapel at the First Congregational Church. The family requests, in lieu of flowers, donations in Dave's honor to be directed to the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. Online condolences are welcome at islescares.com. And Kirk E. Williams, October 6, 1961 to March 22, 2024. Crystal Lake. Kirk E. Williams, 62, of Crystal Lake, died Friday, March 22, 2024. A celebration of life service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, April 6, 2024, at Crystal Lake United Methodist Church. Arrangements are at the Cataldo Funeral Home. Now we turn to the sports page and by the numbers. Must-see TV. College women's basketball Friday at 6 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN2. The NCAA women's tournament reaches its Final Four. Catch it if you can. College men's basketball Thursday, 6:30 p.m. ESPN. Catch the championship game of the NIT tournament. Worth a peek? PGA Thursday, 3 p.m. golf channel. This week's stop is the Valero Texas Open, teeing off from TPC San Antonio. And on the background, Major League Baseball, Tuesday, 9 p.m., TBS. And NL West rivalry renews when the Giants travel down the coast to take on the LA Dodgers. And here's the rest of the schedule. Tuesday, college basketball, 6 p.m., SECN, Louisville at Kentucky, 8 p.m., Pac-12N, Gonzaga at Oregon State. College basketball men's, 6 p.m., ESPN, NIT tournament, Utah versus Indiana State, semifinal, Indianapolis. 8:30 p.m., ESPN2, NIT tournament, Georgia versus Seton Hall, semifinal, Indianapolis. In college softball, 4 p.m., BTN, Penn State at Ohio State. 5 p.m., ACCN, Wofford at Virginia Tech. 6:30 p.m. on the BTN network, Penn State at Ohio State. 7 p.m. on ACCN, McNeese State at Florida State. In high school basketball boys, 8 p.m. on ESPN, McDonald's All-American game, East versus West in Houston. High school basketball girls at 5:30 p.m. on ESPN2, McDonald's All-American game, East versus West in Houston. Major League Baseball at 3 p.m. on MLBN, Minnesota and Milwaukee. At 5:30 p.m. on TBS, Cincinnati at Philadelphia. At 9 p.m. TBS, San Francisco at LA Dodgers. And for NBA basketball at 6:30 p.m. on TNT, Oklahoma City at Philadelphia. on True TV, Oklahoma City at Philadelphia, 9 p.m. TNT, Dallas at Golden State. In NBA G League basketball at 8 p.m. ESPNU Eastern Conference Quarterfinals, Delaware at Indiana. At 10 p.m. on ESPNU Western Conference Quarterfinals, Salt Lake City at Santa Cruz. In soccer, men's, at 1:30 p.m. on ESPNU, the German Cup, FC Kaiserslautern at FC Saarbrücken in semifinal. In USA, Premier League, Everton at Newcastle United. At 1:35 p.m. on FS2, the French Cup, Valenciennes at Lyon, semifinal. 6 p.m. on FS1, CONCACAF, CONCACAF Champions Cup, Tigres UANL at Columbia Crew, quarterfinal, leg one. At 8 p.m. on FS1, CONCACAF Champions Cup, Club America at New England Revolution, quarterfinal, leg one. And tennis at 10 a.m. on the Tennis Channel, Charleston, WTA, early rounds. We'll finish with the digest column. U.S. official had Havana syndrome symptoms. Dateline Washington, D.C. An unidentified senior Defense Department official who attended last year's NATO summit at Vilnius, Lithuania, had symptoms similar to those reported by U.S. officials who experienced Havana syndrome, the Pentagon confirmed Monday. Havana syndrome is still under investigation but includes a string of health problems dating back to 2016 when officials working at the U.S. Embassy in Havana reported sudden unexplained head pressure, head or ear pain, or dizziness. The injuries to key U.S. government personnel or their families were part of a 60 Minutes report Sunday that suggested Russia is behind the incidents, one of which took place during the 2023 NATO summit at Vilnius. Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh confirmed that incident to reporters Monday, but referred questions on whether Russia had a role to the intelligence community, which is still investigating the matter. Trump Company lost $58 million last year, Dateline New York. Less than a week after a flashy stock market debut, Donald Trump's social media company disclosed that it lost nearly $58.2 million in 2023. Losses in 2023 for Trump Media and Technology Group, whose flagship product is Truth Social, mark a stark decline compared with the profit of $50.5 million the former president's company reported for 2022, according to a regulatory filing on Monday. Revenue for Trump Media topped just over $41.13 million in 2023, the SEC filing shows, up from $1.47 million in 2022. After merging with a blank check company called Digital World Acquisition Corporation, Trump Media began trading last week on the NASDAQ under the ticker symbol DJT. You are listening to the reading of the Mason City Globe Gazette for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Next, we'll turn to the Fort Dodge Messenger. Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. The first story from the front page is Singing into Spring, Iowa Central Bands and Singers Take to the Stage, by Bill Shea. Two concerts this week will highlight the bands and singers of Iowa Central Community College. The college's bands and ensembles will be featured Friday. The singers will have their turn on Saturday. The upcoming shows are collectively known as the Spring Showcase. The concerts will likely be the last major ones held in the auditorium of the Bioscience and Health Sciences building. This concert will finish off the performance season in the BHS auditorium as we look forward to the newly renovated space called the Center for Performing Arts on the Fort Dodge campus, said Paul Bloomquist, the college's director of instrumental activities. The instrumental portion of the spring showcase will begin at 7 p.m. Friday. It will feature the jazz band, percussion ensemble, brass ensemble, and concert band. Students have been preparing the music all semester and look forward to presenting a variety of styles from each of the groups, Bloomquist said. pieces by a wide range of composers, including Carl King, Duke Ellington, Irving Berlin, and John Williams, will be performed. Two soloists will be featured during the concert band portion of the spring showcase. Rory Seneff of Webster City will play a French horn solo from a horn concerto by Mozart. Grace Miner of Humboldt will sing an aria by Handel. The singers will have two performances on Saturday, one at 2 p.m. and one at 7 p.m. Both concerts will include the Triton singers, vocal jazz, encore singers, and pop voices, plus some soloists. The audience will hear songs from Queen, the Jonas Brothers, and Ed Sheeran, along with some Broadway numbers. The Triton singers will perform Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, according to Will Lopez, director of vocal music. He said the encore singers will perform the Jonas Brothers, What's a Man Gotta Do, while pop voices will sing What Do I Know by Ed Sheeran. Vocal jazz will sing an arrangement of A Million Dreams from The Greatest Showman. Four soloists will be featured. They are Sarah Du, singing One Night Only from Broadway musical Dreamgirls, Elle Clark singing With You from Ghost, Anna Fisher singing Jars of Hearts, and Danny Abens singing Someone Like You from Jekyll and Hyde. We'll close the concert with an uplifting rendition of One Republic's I Lived, Lopez said. The next story is Attic Fire Ravages Fort Dodge Home by Bill Shea. Part of the roof of a Fort Dodge house collapsed during a Sunday afternoon fire. There were no injuries. No one was apparently in the house at 1441 17th Street Southwest when the fire broke out. The fire was reported at 1:07 p.m. When firefighters arrived, smoke and flames were coming from the attic and roof of the house. Firefighters immediately searched the house and found no one inside. They also used two hose lines to attack the fire burning in the attic. After part of the roof caved in, firefighters got out of the building and finished putting out the fire from the outside. The house had a peaked roof built over the original flat tar roof that made extinguishing fire between these two roofs very challenging, Fire Chief Steve Hergenratter said. The cause of the fire was traced to a wood-burning stove in the basement. According to Hergenratter, that stove was vented into an improper chimney which ignited wooden rafters in the attic. Off-duty firefighters were called to the scene to help and to handle any other emergency calls in the city. Emergency personnel were on the scene until 4 p.m. Fort Dodge Police and Webster County Sheriff's deputies assisted firefighters. The house is owned by Chad Pansy of Fort Dodge, according to online records of the Webster County Assessor's Office. Man Charged in March Gunfire Incident by Bill Shea. A man is facing two felony charges in connection with the gunfire incident in Fort Dodge on March 8th. No one was injured in the shooting, which was reported at 2:08 p.m. March 8th in the 1800 block of First Avenue South. During the investigation, Fort Dodge police obtained an arrest warrant for Michael R. Turner, 34, of Fort Dodge. Turner was apprehended Friday during a traffic stop at First Avenue North and 18th Street, police reported. He was charged with intimidation with a dangerous weapon and dominion or control of a firearm or offensive weapon by a felon, according to police reports. He made his initial appearance in Webster County Magistrate Court Saturday morning. His preliminary hearing was set for Monday. The Webster County Sheriff's Office, Iowa State Patrol, and Iowa Division of Narcotics Enforcement assisted city police. And then this is the last story from the front page. Fort Dodge Center cited for bed bug-related issues by Clark Kaufman. Several state-licensed nursing homes are facing fines due to recent findings of bed bugs, resident abuse, unexplained broken bones, and medication errors. The violations are tied to recent facility inspections performed by the Iowa Department of Inspections, Appeals, and Licensing, which oversees healthcare facilities in Iowa. One of the largest fines for $6,250 was imposed against the Fort Dodge Health and Rehabilitation Center for failing to adequately respond to a resident's health issues caused by bed bugs. According to inspectors, a female resident of the home complained on October 25, 2023, of itching skin and rash. Bug bites were confirmed by the staff. Lotions were provided after a delay of several days, and on November 8, the facility heat-treated the woman's room to eliminate the bugs. Subsequently, the room was sprayed for bed bugs on 3 occasions. According to inspectors, the home's assistant director of nursing stated that the facility's nurse practitioner had refused to see the resident after learning there were bed bugs in the room, adding that the home had experienced problems with bed bugs in the past. The inspector noted that the home's clinical record for the resident made no mention of any issues with bed bugs. Inspectors reported that the resident's sister expressed concern about bringing bed bugs home after visiting the care facility and said she believed the facility staff was incompetent. At the time of the inspection, state officials had a backlog of 6 complaints to investigate at the home, 5 of which were substantiated. The Fort Dodge facility is owned by the Ensign Group, Incorporated, a California-based holding company whose affiliates operate more than 290 nursing homes in 13 states. In a call with investors last October, the Ensign Group reported it had more than $1 billion on hand to invest in new nursing home acquisitions. According to public filings, Ensign Group CEO Barry R. Port collected $8,020,763 in total compensation during 2022, with $5.3 million of that provided in the form of a bonus. Other Iowa care facilities cited recently for violations include Opportunity Living in Rockwell City. This care facility for people with intellectual disabilities was fined $500 for placing residents in immediate jeopardy by failing to promptly identify and respond to a potential sexual assault. The violation is tied to an October 2023 incident in which a female resident was found to be bleeding from her vaginal area after being given a bath by a male employee. A local hospital, a woman was diagnosed with a vaginal laceration, and according to inspectors, a facility nurse at the hospital then texted the home to report that the injury appeared to be the result of a sexual assault. According to inspectors, a police officer was notified of the possible assault and the subsequent suspension of an employee. On February 21, 2024, the officer informed inspectors no criminal charges would be filed in the case. At the time of the inspection, state officials had a backlog of 3 complaints to investigate at the home, none of which were substantiated. Turning to page 2, there's a picture of a burning garage and car, and the title is Fire Destroys Car, Melts Siding in Otho. Flames leap from the engine compartment of a burning car Sunday night in Otho. The fire at 417 North Highway Street was reported at 8:11 p.m. The fire destroyed the 2009 Hyundai and melted some siding on the garage, according to Otho Fire Chief Marty Smith. He said the car was parked when the fire ignited. Now turning to page 3, this story, Fort Dodge man pleads guilty to firearms charge. A Fort Dodge man faces a possible federal prison term after pleading guilty to lying while buying a gun, according to the United States Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Iowa. 22 pleaded guilty on Monday to making a false statement during the purchase of a firearm, federal prosecutors reported. According to the Attorney's Office, Collier bought a .380 ACP pistol on July 2022 from the Iowa Outdoor Store in Fort Dodge. He indicated that he was buying the gun for himself when he, in fact, was buying it for someone else, prosecutors said. Collier also bought another gun for this individual, whom prosecutors did not identify, at a gun shop in Des Moines. Collier faces a maximum of 10 years in prison, a $250,000 fine, and 3 years of supervised release following any prison term. The case was investigated by the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and the Webster County Sheriff's Office. The In Brief column, VFW Auxiliary Hot Beef Dinner Saturday. The VFW Auxiliary is serving a hot beef dinner with real mashed potatoes, gravy, corn, dessert, and coffee from 4:30 p.m. until gone Saturday at the VFW Post 1856, at 518 South 29th Street. Tickets are $10 per person. The meal will be served dine-in or carry-out. KYL to host author Sarah Brower's Thursday. Dateline Webster City. Kendall Young Library patrons are invited to hear about another book written by Sarah Brower's. Her newest release, Perfect Day Iowa, Day Trips, Weekend Getaways, and Other Escapes, will be presented from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Thursday at Kendall Young Library, Webster City, Iowa. And Iowa is in the heart of America and is often referred to as a flyover country. Brower's, a lifelong Iowan, shares how easy it is to have a perfect day in Iowa. She will show you what you can expect in numerous areas of the state in A Perfect Day, Iowa. Now we'll turn to the obituaries. Joe Lewis. Joseph Dean Lewis, 72, of Fort Dodge, passed away on Wednesday, March 27, 2024, at Iowa Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services will be held on Monday, April 8th at 10 a.m. at the Laufersweiler Funeral Home. Burial will follow at North Lawn Cemetery with military rites conducted by the VFW Post 1856 and the U.S. Army Honor Guard. A visitation will be held on Sunday from 4 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. Colleen Phillips, Lorenz. Colleen M. Phillips, age 91, of Lorenz, passed away on Saturday, February 17, 2024, at Arlington Place in Pocahontas, Iowa. Memorial services are at 1 p.m. Friday, April 5, 2024, at Bethany Lutheran Church in Lorenz, Iowa, with Pastor David Klappenbach officiating. Burial will take place in the Lorenz Cemetery near Lorenz. Visitation is from 12 to 1 p.m. Friday, April 5th, at the church in Lorenz. A celebration of life will take place from 3 to 5 p.m. Friday, April 5th, at the Lorenz Golf and Country Club following the graveside services. Powers Funeral Home of Lorenz, Iowa, is handling the arrangements. For online condolences and obituaries, visit powersfh.net. Lori Jackson, Lake City. Funeral, 10:30 a.m. Wednesday at the Lampion Powers Funeral Home. Visitation, 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the Lampion Powers Funeral Home. Burial in the Lake City Cemetery, powersfh.net. Peggy Hildreth, Rockwell City. 10:30 a.m. Friday, St. Paul's Lutheran and Presbyterian Church. Visitation, 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, Palmer and Swank Funeral Home, Rockwell City. Susan Anderson, Gilmore City. Celebration of life will be 3 to 6 p.m. Sunday, April 7th at 1075 220th Street, Gilmore City, at the Russell Nave Farmstead in their Quonset building. Now turning to Magistrate Court, Webster County, Monday. Violation of probation, Jeffrey E. White, 1204 6th Avenue North, further proceedings to be scheduled. Domestic abuse assault, second offense, James L. Altman, Jr., 39, of 1421 11th Avenue Southwest, preliminary hearing set for April 19th, no contact order issued. Third degree theft, Jason C. Stewart, 25, calendar, preliminary hearing set for April 19th. Failure to appear, William A. Eldridge, 33, Fort Dodge, further proceedings to be scheduled. Alondra M. Zavala, 27, 1205 2nd Avenue North, further proceedings to be scheduled. First degree burglary, Douglas A. Foy, 1414 2nd Avenue South, preliminary hearing waived. Willful injury causing bodily injury, Douglas A. Foy, 1414 2nd Avenue South, preliminary hearing waived. Javon C. Preston, 1202 South 25th Street, preliminary hearing set for April 10th. Third degree burglary, Jacob C. Peterson, 33, Fort Dodge, preliminary hearing waived. First degree robbery, Javon C. Preston, 1202 South 25th Street, preliminary hearing set for April 10th. Second degree criminal mischief, Javon C. Preston, 1202 South 25th Street, preliminary hearing set for April 10th. Driving while license suspended, D'Angelo A. Hawkins, 1222 1st Avenue North, $250 plus surcharge and court costs. Operating while under the influence, Breck R. Imhoff, 63-1202 North 23rd Place, preliminary hearing set for April 19th. Disorderly conduct. D'Angelo A. Hawkins, 1222 First Avenue North, $105 plus surcharge, court costs. Interference with official acts. Jason E. Shanks, 45, West Des Moines, continued 180 days. Fourth degree theft. Anthony Day Linderman, 610 South 17th Street, further proceedings to be scheduled. Assault causing bodily injury or mental illness. Dante D. Whitfield, 26, 308 Charles Street, preliminary hearing set for April 10th. Assault on persons in certain occupations. Jason E. Shanks, 45, West Des Moines, preliminary hearing set for April 19th. Domestic abuse, assault causing injury or mental illness. Eric J. Quario, 28, calendar, preliminary hearing set for April 19th. No contact order issued. And now we turn to the police log. Fort Dodge, Sunday. A domestic disturbance was reported in the 2700 block of 21st Avenue North. A fight was reported in the 10 block of North 7th Street. Harassment was reported in the 600 block of North 23rd Street. An escape was reported in the 300 block of 1st Avenue South. A parking complaint was reported in the 1100 block of Williams Drive. A parking complaint was reported in the 800 block of Loomis Park Drive. A welfare check was conducted in the 1800 block of 7th Avenue South. A runaway was reported in the 400 block south of 17th Street. Juvenile problems were reported in the 1300 block of South 26th Street. A house fire was reported in the 1500 block of the 17th Street Southwest. A report was reported. A fight was reported in the 100 block of North 10th Street. A missing person was reported in the 1000 block of North 26th Street. Trespassing was reported in the 300 block of DeWitt Street. A fight was reported in the 600 block of North 22nd Street. Juvenile problems were reported in the 200 block of Avenue M West. A disabled vehicle was reported in the 100 block of Kenyon Road. A suspicious vehicle was reported in the 600 block of 2nd Street Northwest. And a suspicious person was reported in the 600 block of North 7th Street. Now turning to the sports page, this story is titled Adams Earns Big Ten Honor, Dateline Iowa City. Sophomore pitcher Jalen Adams has been named Big Ten Co-Pitcher of the Week. It was announced Monday. The honor is the first Big Ten weekly honor of her career. She shares the award with Courtney Winch of Maryland. The Fort Dodge native picked up two complete game shutout victories in the series win over Michigan State. Adams threw her first career no-hitter on Friday, the 19th no-hitter in program history. She allowed just two base runners and had two strikeouts in the 4-0 victory. This is the first seven-inning no-hitter for the Hawkeyes since the 2015 season when Shayla Starkenberg no-hit Southern Utah on February 7th. In Game 2 of Saturday's doubleheader, the sophomore went the distance again, allowing no runs on seven hits with three strikeouts. Adams held Spartan hitters to a 152 batting average against on the weekend. She lowered her season ERA to 1.96 in 103 and two-thirds innings pitched. The Hawkeyes return to action on Friday as they travel to West Lafayette, Indiana, for their first Big Ten road series at Purdue. First pitch at Bittinger Stadium is scheduled for 4 p.m. Now turning to girls' soccer, the title of this story is Numbers Up for Dodger Girls by Chris Johnson. G. Myers was excited the first day she walked into practice. The Fort Dodge girls' soccer coach had been fighting for better numbers on the pitch. This season, the program has turned the corner. In the initial team meeting, there were 22 girls, and as the season opens this Tuesday, there are now 30 on the roster. The girls really poured in from the first week of practice on, Meyer said. It's been exciting. They want to be part of a program, and we are definitely at a better starting place to start than we have been in previous years. They are happy to know that we have a good shot at competing. Last spring, the Dodgers ended their long losing streak and eventually picked up a pair of victories. Myers is hoping to build from that positive momentum in 2024. "I can't wait for this season to start," Myers said. "We finally have a year that I can look down the schedule and believe we will be able to compete. Our returning girls know what they can do, and we have some others who have been around the program and are coming back with a chip on their shoulder." Fort Dodge's defense will be led by a strong group of upperclassmen. Returning in the box for the Dodgers is senior Camden Doster, who made the move from back defender to goalkeeper last year. "The way she carries herself is very positive," Myers said. "She's doing a fantastic job. She took the initiative and stepped in. I know I can count on her. When you get her word, that's it. There's a lot of pressure to be a goalkeeper, and she is her own biggest critic. I just have to teach her to love herself and be confident." Seniors returning for the Dodgers are St. Edmund student Sylvia Heldorfer and Maddie Lee. Also coming for the Dodgers are seniors Kira Kolbaum and Nadia Tixlazi. "Every year, my senior class has known the expectations," Myers said. "They pass that mentality down, knowing that we don't blame anyone. They play together and as a team and hold both themselves and each other accountable." The Dodgers return all of their scoring from a year ago, led by junior Jace Madison and sophomore Abby Hernandez. Both Madison and Hernandez had 4 goals each in 2023. Abby played defense until last year, and it was a little apprehensive to play on offense. Now she doesn't even look back. "It's great to be able to have everyone run a practice with me and man the drills." The Dodgers will open the season on Tuesday at Dodger Stadium against Des Moines Lincoln. Junior varsity action is at 6 p.m. with varsity to follow at 7:30 p.m. And that does it for today's reading of the Fort Dodge Messenger for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I'm your reader, Catherine Moyers. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, anytime. Thank you for listening.
In the People's Pharmacy Health Headlines. At high doses, nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like diclofenac, ibuprofen, or naproxen may increase the risk of kidney problems. The study that revealed this used de-identified medical records of more than 750,000 active duty U.S. Army soldiers. Consequently, these were active young and middle-aged adults. During the time of the study, from 2011 through 2014, nearly 18% of these soldiers got a prescription for 1 to 7 doses of an NSAID pain reliever in a month. Another 16% were prescribed more than 7 doses in a month. Fewer than 1% of these people were subsequently diagnosed with acute or chronic kidney disease. Nevertheless, the rate of kidney trouble was about 20% higher among people who had received high-dose NSAIDs than among those who had taken none. The authors described the increased risk as modest but statistically significant.
Another class of drugs that can lead to kidney injury is proton pump inhibitors. A data mining initiative of the FDA's Adverse Event Reporting System analyzed kidney-related side effects among 43,000 people who took a drug such as esomeprazole, lansoprazole, or omeprazole. Approximately 8,000 people taking a histamine 2 blocker such as ranitidine or famotidine served as controls, since they take these drugs for similar symptoms. The researchers found that 5.6% of people on PPIs alone had a kidney-related side effect, while only 0.7% of those on H2 blockers did. chronic kidney disease was 28 times more likely, and acute kidney injury was 4 times more likely among people taking PPIs. While this analysis shows association, not causation, there are previous studies linking PPIs and kidney damage.
There's growing concern about a mysterious infectious disease that has been spreading among the wild deer population for decades. Scientists call it CWD, or chronic wasting disease. Hunters refer to this condition as zombie deer disease. It can also affect elk and moose. The CDC reports that this infectious disease has spread to wildlife in 24 states and 2 Canadian provinces. CWD was first detected in Colorado among captive deer in the 1960s and in the wild deer population in the 1980s. It's now affecting deer in the Midwest, Southwest, and some parts of the East Coast. The disease appears to be caused by a prion infection reminiscent of mad cow disease. An infectious disease expert at the University of Minnesota has warned that hunters who eat contaminated deer meat may eventually develop the human equivalent of chronic wasting disease.
Shoulder replacement surgery is becoming increasingly common. Now researchers writing in the BMJ say that patients should be warned that the risks are higher than originally thought. The investigators reviewed hospital and mortality records in the UK. When men between 50 and 59 have this type of shoulder surgery, 1 in 4 will need further surgery on that shoulder within 5 years. In addition, older people who underwent this kind of surgical procedure experienced high rates of serious adverse events. 1 in 9 older women and 1 in 5 older men had an infection, major blood clot, heart attack or stroke, or died within 3 months. The authors of the study encouraged their colleagues to counsel patients about the risks as well as the benefits of this kind of surgery.
Drug interactions are a serious hazard in hospitals and the community. If patients receive prescriptions for incompatible medications, they can experience severe side effects that may even be life-threatening. Electronic medical records are intended to warn prescribers and pharmacists about potentially dangerous interactions, but many do so indiscriminately. The result is something called alert fatigue. If clinicians receive too many warnings, they may not pay attention to the really important ones. A team at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital reviewed their alert system. They removed unnecessary alerts and provided additional information to the most important ones. After they finished, they tracked clinicians' reactions. Alert overrides dropped by 40%. One important change linked alerts to the patient's laboratory data, making them much more targeted. And that's the health news from the People's Pharmacy this week.